Well, the most important one, you can express it in 2 points. One is that first, we need to work to make the conditions right for return of refugees. And then it's a question of the actual return. So, of course, there are many details or specifics under that, although this is not a work plan, it's an agreement, which goes into dealing with both physical and non-physical conditions on the ground. The two most important ones in my mind is that people need to have an identity. They need to be able to exist as normal people in society. They need to be able to move around, freedom of movement, so they can enjoy services, livelihoods, etc. And secondly, there needs to be an absence of violence. People need to be able to return in peace and to be able to live their lives undisturbed by violence. So these are the obviously, these are not things that will happen automatically. These are things which we have to do several different actions to make this happen, of course, together with government. And then you have all the other things. Once you have those key conditions in place, people, of course, also need accommodation. They need to live somewhere. They need to have access to opportunities for livelihoods. They need to have access to basic services. There's a need for both local and other more state-level infrastructure. So there are issues, both long-term development, reconciliation, social cohesion, and also more specific issues with a pathway to citizenship for those who are eligible, to ensure that the process for securing people freedom of movement is an easy and straightforward one.
You've mentioned the question of citizenship, and we know that this has been a very difficult situation. The Rohingya people in Myanmar have been deprived of their citizenship, and the government has been quite adamant in refusing to give them citizenship. This is one of the provisions of the agreement. So do you think this time the government is serious about this?
There is as you correctly said, that this is an issue from the past that we have been struggling with. The people have been stateless for decades because of this issue. We are often referring to this Rakhine Advisory Commission recommendations, the commission led by Kofi Annan that gave their recommendations last year. And they gave a number of key recommendations for how to improve this situation, how to review the current legislation, how to move on with some interim arrangements while this is taking place, etc. And the government has, on a number of occasions, expressed support for these recommendations. So these recommendations we are referring to when we are implementing this agreement. We discussed carefully in these negotiations how we would relate to these recommendations, and these will be a central part in how we can move forward.
The UN says that at the moment there are no conditions for a voluntary, safe, dignified and sustainable return of Rohingya refugees. And you yourself have said that you've seen, when you were flying on a helicopter in the northern Rakhine state, you've seen villages razed to the ground and bulldozed. And also, if people return, they will be among the same people who raped them and murdered them and tortured them. So what needs to be done for them to be able to return? What will it take to create necessary conditions?
Yeah, what it will take is the most important things is that people will need to have the possibility of existing as a normal member of society. They need to be recognized. They need to have an identity. And secondly, that they have to be able to live in peace with their neighbors. Intercommunal violence is something they experience in many parts of the world. And And this is one of the places we have experienced this. And this will need to be dealt with. There will need to be programs for reconciliation, for social cohesion. And these will have to be linked to development programs. It is not enough to deal with this politically. It needs to be dealt with also at the development level. If you're going to have a sustainable situation where communities live together.
But meanwhile, they have to live somewhere. They have to return to the homes, which are in most cases non-existent. And I know the UN is against the idea of placing them in camps. So who is going to build something for them to live in, if that's in the plans?
Yes. I think that these specific details, whether we about exactly when they will return, this will be up to the refugees themselves. What we need to do is to assess the actions, the situation on the ground first, then the actions necessary to make the conditions ready for return. Then we need to consult with the actual refugees, and they have to make an informed and voluntary decision about returning. And the exact timing of that, of course, will depend on what is happening on the ground. And we, of course, some of this will take time, so there may be movements happening at the same time as improvements on the conditions are happening. But it's important that this will have to be the refugees' own choice. You can imagine many different physical arrangements in terms of rebuilding houses. One possibility is to use cash for work programs where people rebuild their own houses, etc. But we have not come that far in the planning. It needs to depend on the choice of the refugees. How would they like to do it?
We know that hundreds of thousands of them are living in really deplorable conditions in Bangladesh, in camps. Do you have a sense of whether they're willing to return home to Myanmar?
Yes, I have not had the chance to interview them, and we have not been in a position yet to do specific interviews to explore the willingness to return, because only now do we have in place these agreements on both sides of the border. So only now could we start to have this sort of dialogue. I think that if I was a refugee living over there, I would look at can I create a future for my children back in Rakhine State? And I think with the information we have today, or the information that they have today, that question is not yet possible to give an answer to. But we hope to progress as much as possible and as soon as possible towards a situation where that question could be answered.
Another provision in the agreement, in the Memorandum of Understanding, is the need for the UN to have humanitarian access to the people who need help, and also to verify on the ground the implementation of the agreement. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself. Maybe, again, it's too early to talk about it, but how are you planning to do that?
The agreement does include provisions for the UNHCR and UNDP to have that access to implement the agreement and to do assessment. So we will start with having a few assessment missions on the ground. We have to keep in mind that we have not been able to have missions on the ground in that area for quite some time. So we will have to have a few exploratory missions to get our bearings and start planning, and then after a while have more detailed missions, both in terms of assessing the situation, to be able to inform refugees, and also to be able to plan for implementation of programs that will prepare the ground. And then later on there will be project activities, that we implement project activities on the ground.
Obviously, is it going to be signed? Can we talk about signing, or it's a bit premature?
The signing has been decided for tomorrow, the 6th of June at 11 o'clock local time.
Okay, so I can sort of refer to the signing.
The negotiations have concluded. We have initialed a final version, and then we will do the formal signing tomorrow.
Okay, so the signing of the agreement is a hugely important step, but you've said that this is just the first step. So what's next?
Yeah, the next is to start the work to prepare conditions so that people can return, to implement the provisions of the agreement. To prepare the ground for refugees to return means both getting information and planning for activities. And the information we will use to help the refugees make an informed choice, and also to use to negotiate the details of the conditions that are necessary. But it will also be a number of projects. There will be physical projects to. I cannot speculate exactly what projects. It depends on what needs we are able to assess. But you can imagine it has to do with livelihoods. It has to do with intercommunal relationship. It has to do with basic services, health, education, maybe some infrastructure. It depends on what we find on the ground when we are going in and doing assessments. And of course, we are not the only actor on the ground. There are other people also doing development projects on the ground in Rakhine State. So we will not do everything. There will be other actors taking part in the necessary work.
Thank you very much. Would you like to add anything?
I would like to agree with you that this is a first and very important step, but it is now that the really important work starts. It was a major crisis last year. Many people, hundreds of thousands, living in horrible conditions today, and we really need to do our best and to help them so that they can eventually return home.